You're going to listen to a talk by Nancy Lublin about how texting can save lives. First, you will have 45 seconds to study the task below. Then you will hear the recording twice. While listening, complete the sentences 1 to 6 using a maximum of 4 words. Write your answers in the spaces provided. The first one, 0, has been done for you. After the second listening, you will have 45 seconds to check your answers.
To most of you, a smartphone is a device to buy, sell, play games, and watch videos. I think it might be a lifeline. I think actually it might be able to save more lives than penicillin. Texting is actually the best way for parents to communicate with their kids. It might be the only way to communicate with their kids. The average teenager sends 3,339 text messages a month. Unless she's a girl, then it's closer to 4,000. And the secret is they open every single one. Texting has a 100% open rate. Now the parents are really alarmed. It's a 100% open rate even if they don't respond when you ask them when they're coming home for dinner. I promise, they read that text. And this isn't some suburban iPhone-using teen phenomenon. Texting actually over-indexes for minority and urban youth. I know this because at dosomething.org, which is the largest organization for teenagers and social change in America, about 6 months ago, we pivoted and started focusing on text messaging. We're now texting out to about 200,000 kids a week about doing our campaigns to make their schools greener or to work on combating homelessness in their areas and things like that. We're finding it 11 times more powerful than email. We've also found an unintended consequence. We've been getting text messages back like these. I don't want to go to school today. The boys call me names. Or, I was doing drugs, my parents found out and so I stopped, but due to a bullying incident at school, I started again. That last one's an actual text message that we received. And yeah, we're there. I will not forget the day we got that text message. And so it was that day that we decided we needed to build a crisis text hotline. Because this isn't what we do. We do social change. Kids are just sending us these text messages because texting is so familiar and comfortable to them, and there's nowhere else to turn that they're sending them to us. So think about it. A text hotline. It's pretty powerful. It's fast. It's pretty private. No one hears you. You're just texting quietly. It's real time. We can help millions of teens with counseling and referrals. That's great. But the thing that really makes this awesome is the data. Because I'm not really comfortable just helping these teens with counseling and referrals. I want to prevent all this from happening. It's a really sensitive issue. Think about the data from a crisis text line. There is no census on bullying and dating abuse and eating disorders. Maybe there are some studies, some longitudinal studies, that cost lots of money and took lots of time. Or maybe there's some anecdotal evidence. Imagine having real-time data on every one of those issues. You could inform legislation. You could inform school policy. You could say to a principal, there's a big drug problem at your school. You could see the immediate impact of legislation or a hateful speech that somebody gives in a school assembly and see what happens as a result. This is really, to me, the power of texting and the power of data. Because while people are talking about data, making it possible for social media networks to mine my friend from the third grade, or a clothing chain like Target to know when it's time for me to buy new sports clothes, I'm actually really excited about the power of data and the power of texting to help that kid go to school, to protect that kid from getting bullied, and to help that girl stop doing drugs. Thank you. To most of you, a smartphone is a device to buy, sell, play games, and watch videos. I think it might be a lifeline. I think actually it might be able to save more lives than penicillin. Texting is actually the best way for parents to communicate with their kids. It might be the only way to communicate with their kids. The average teenager sends 3,339 text messages a month, unless she's a girl. Then it's closer to 4,000. And the secret is they open every single one. Texting has a 100% open rate. Now the parents are really alarmed. It's a 100% open rate even if they don't respond when you ask them when they're coming home for dinner. I promise, they read that text. And this isn't some suburban iPhone-using teen phenomenon. Texting actually over-indexes for minority and urban youth. I know this because at dosomething.org, which is the largest organization for teenagers and social change in America, about 6 months ago, we pivoted and started focusing on text messaging. We're now texting out to about 200,000 kids a week about doing our campaigns to make their schools greener or to work on combating homelessness in their areas and things like that. We're finding it 11 times more powerful than email. We've also found an unintended consequence. We've been getting text messages back like these. I don't want to go to school today. The boys call me names. Or, I was doing drugs, my parents found out, and so I stopped, but due to a bullying incident at school, I started again. That last one's an actual text message that we received. And yeah, we're there. I will not forget the day we got that text message. And so it was that day that we decided we needed to build a crisis text hotline. Because this isn't what we do. We do social change. Kids are just sending us these text messages because texting is so familiar and comfortable to them, and there's nowhere else to turn that they're sending them to us. So think about it. A text hotline. It's pretty powerful. It's fast. It's pretty private. No one hears you. You're just texting quietly. It's real time. We can help millions of teens with counseling and referrals. That's great. But the thing that really makes this awesome is the data. Because I'm not really comfortable just helping these teens with counseling and referrals. I want to prevent all this from happening. It's a really sensitive issue. Think about the data from a crisis text line. There is no census on bullying and dating abuse and eating disorders. Maybe there are some studies, some longitudinal studies, that cost lots of money and took lots of time. Or maybe there's some anecdotal evidence. Imagine having real-time data on every one of those issues. You could inform legislation. You could inform school policy. You could say to a principal, there's a big drug problem at your school. You could see the immediate impact of legislation or a hateful speech that somebody gives in a school assembly and see what happens as a result. This is really, to me, the power of texting and the power of data. Because while people are talking about data, making it possible for social media networks to mine my friend from the third grade, or a clothing chain like Target to know when it's time for me to buy new sports clothes, I'm actually really excited about the power of data and the power of texting to help that kid go to school, to protect that kid from getting bullied, and to help that girl stop doing drugs. Thank you.